From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. We reflect on a Liverpool loss, the Manchester United FPL loving continues, and a Brighton pick that'll surprise even the most ardent of Seagulls fans. Well, hello and welcome along to the FPL podcast on a week where if Man City have shown us one thing, it's that even if the ultimate prize is no longer possible, it is still worth playing for both pride and, of course, points. A lesson we can all heed as we attack these final few FPL game weeks as well. Joining me to discuss their plans of attack, Statman Supremo, Duncan Alexander. Hi, Duncan.
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Yes, I'm good, thank you. The less said about my FPL team, the better, though. We've also got former footballer turned journalist Adrian Clark.
Hello.
A very happy Adrian Clark, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm smiling for once when I come on this show, which is good.
And conveniently this week, the non-Liverpool supporting half of FPL family, don't worry, Sam Bonfield, we don't have to talk about Spurs too much.
Oh, let's not talk about them at all. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Sam. Great to have you with us. But anyway, the huge talking point from game week 32 was that result for Manchester City against Liverpool. I don't think any of us saw that coming, particularly you, Duncan. You tweeted something I think jinxed it. Man City have lost more games in 1920 than Liverpool have in the last three seasons combined. What did you make of that game on Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a bit harsh to blame me. I think there's a few other Liverpool players that might have a little bit more to do with it. I mean, if you actually watch the game, Liverpool were pretty good for the first 20 minutes. They could have, you know, Salah hit the post. I don't have Salah in my team, so I was quite pleased to see that rebound. But it's one of those games where I think if Liverpool had taken the lead, they could have won or it could have been a high-scoring draw. I don't think it was necessarily a complete destruction. But, you know, Phil Foden, who I talked about last week and didn't bring in, continues to look amazing. Now he's reached his 20s. And De Bruyne is just, you know, surely one of the best players in Premier League history on this form. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because a lot of people speculated that maybe City would take it easy now ahead of the Champions League, but that doesn't seem to be Pep's approach at all. And their squad's so good that, you know, they can see them racking up more wins like this in the remainder of the season.
Can't ever really imagine a Pep team taking it easy, especially on that showing. Sam, where does this leave us with Liverpool assets? They've got a very attractive fixture against Villa in this game week. You've held Salah and Trent. Are you going to continue to do that?
Yeah, I think so. I think for me, it was always going to be a bit of a funny game, this one. Man City were never going to want to let Liverpool come to the Etihad and win that game, having just had to give them a guard of honour onto the pitch. So I think there was always likely to be some sort of reaction from Manchester City last night. But I think moving forward, those Liverpool assets, you could see from Klopp at the end of the game, he was really unhappy with the Liverpool performance. And I think he will send out a strong Liverpool team at the weekend to counteract what we saw the other night.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree, or maybe that's just me hopeful as well, because I have both Salah and Trent. Now, Adrian, the happiest of us four this morning, definitely. You had Aubameyang as captain. We said he'd be a good pick last week on the show. He was still behind Salah in terms of number of people that captained him, but it certainly paid off.
Yeah, I was chuffed with the choice, I've got to admit. Having seen the previous couple of appearances from Aubameyang, I knew that a goal was coming. He'd had so many shots, so many 1v1s and come close to scoring that I sensed he was about to sort of unleash himself. And Norwich, let's face it, are awful at the back. Also, Arsenal have changed their system the last couple of games, gone three at the back, and they've sort of loaded up on the left-hand side. And the byproduct of that, and this is something for those that have ditched Aubameyang to maybe ponder, the byproduct of this change in system is that basically Aubameyang has to track back less. He's spending almost all his time in the opposition half, often joining up as a second centre forward. And that's what he did against Norwich. He scored a couple of goals. I mean, they were gifts, weren't they? Blimey. Norwich gave him those goals, but he's lethal. And yeah, he did the business for me, which is fantastic. Even though I've got 96 points, I'm sort of angry with myself because I left Greenwood on the bench, which...
You can't be angry with that though, Duncan. You're talking to three other people who did not get anywhere close to you in terms of points. But yeah, Greenwood on the bench, he looks like a set fire starter for Manchester United. Now, we'll talk about United later on. Duncan, just a quick word. You had Aubameyang, you kept him. Looking at his fixtures going forward and the fact that he's very much in that golden boot race now, joint top, are you going to be keeping him?
Yeah, I did come close to getting rid of him last week, but I stuck with him. Didn't captain him. Had a captain nightmare, in fact, because it was a choice between Bruno Fernandes, Kevin De Bruyne, Aubameyang and Rashford. And guess which one of those I chose. But, you know.
One that didn't get any points.
Well, I got two. I mean, you know. So, yeah, but I think Aubameyang, as Adrian said, he has got more freedom. You know, he won the Golden Boot jointly last season. He's, you know, in with a great shot doing it again. And yeah, I think Arsenal's fixtures look pretty good as well. So yeah, I'm going to stick with him.
All I will say on that though is that this weekend is a tough one, isn't it? Wolves. If you don't score against them before half time, you're done, aren't you? They just don't concede in the second half. And I think the matchup actually, Aubameyang against Bolly, left sided attack v right sided centre half. I think that's going to be a really interesting one.
Yes, yeah, 7 clean sheets in the last 8 now for Wolves. If Aubameyang can score against Wolves, then that will surely give his owners even more hope going into the rest of the season. Anyway, that's our talking points from Game Week 32. Now it's time to turn our attention to Game Week 33. So game week 33 then, the deadline is Saturday the 4th of July at 12:30. That's the first of 5 deadlines in 2 weeks. I would say hold on to your hats, but I think it's actually now more a case of hold on to your phone, your device, your laptop, whatever you do to get those changes in on time and set your alarms. That's what I do. Now guys, there's some really intriguing matchups with some really big points potential. Duncan, I'm going to come to you first because I think the home team in the game you've picked could be set for big points.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Chelsea Watford. Sorry to announce, I don't think Watford are going to get much out of that. I mean, Chelsea are a strange team because
I'm not
obviously
saying
they
anything,
lost to
Duncan.
West Ham. Well, you know, Chelsea lost to West Ham in the week, and you could see Frank Lampard was absolutely fuming about it. I mean, they're very good going forward, Chelsea. They're behind City and Liverpool in terms of all the kind of attacking metrics. They are kind of the third best team in terms of creativity and things like that. It's just their defence isn't very reliable. But they're playing Watford at home. Watford haven't won at Stamford Bridge since Frank Lampard was a 7-year-old child, so that's quite a long time ago. And I mean, for me, I think Willian is a great shout. Obviously scored 2 at West Ham, you know, became the first player to score in all 12 months of a calendar year, obviously not in the same year, but you know, I think although he's leaving the club, I mean, I did think he'd actually be quite a good free transfer for Chelsea to look at in the summer. He looks like he's the Mr. Reliable for them at the moment. And yeah, I think Lampard is going to kind of go back to basics ahead of this fixture. You know, he might switch out Abraham, who's really is struggling, and bring Giroud back. Obviously, both of them know that there's a big Timo Werner shadow looming over them. So yeah, I mean, I've got Mount in my team, but I'm considering, you know, getting Willian in because I think he is going to end the season in great form.
Another one that I'm looking at as well is Christian Pulisic, 7.1 million. There's so many kind of not too expensive options in that Chelsea midfield. The problem with that, though, Adrian, is the fact that we don't always know who Frank's going to pick.
Well, he's sport for choice, isn't he, in terms of options? And I do like Pulisic, though. It feels like he's had a bit of a breakthrough since the restart, given them a new dimension. I think that he is someone worth considering, but he's not what I'd regard as cheap. And with Willian on penalties as well and free kicks, I think that I would lean towards Willian ahead of Pulisic. But yeah, you're right, Chelsea sport for choice, really. I mean, Loftus-Cheek, I thought, was going to be a big player at this end of season period. He kind of had that one shot at it, didn't play particularly well, and now he's sort of on the periphery. I still think he can be a big points gatherer once he gets fully fit, Loftus-Cheek, but maybe wait for next season on him.
7.1, both Willian and Pulisic are priced at the moment if you are interested. A really tricky decision there, both of those looking very much in form. Sam, I said we weren't going to talk about Spurs, but the game that you're going to talk about is the game that they're going to bounce back from defeat against Sheffield United, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, gosh, Spurs. It's so difficult with them at the moment because they can be brilliant. And we saw the previous game against West Ham, they played really well. And then the game against Sheffield United just did not go how was expected. And I think in part that was because Sheffield United actually played really well in that game. And it was the first time since the restart that we've seen Sheffield United back to the kind of form that we really loved as FPL managers. And it's come at a time where a lot of FPL managers have started taking those players kind of out of their teams. Spurs have got a tricky fixture this week against, I should say, Everton, who have been on reasonable form. Now, historically, this game always ends up being really high scoring. And the previous match this season ended 1-1, but before that it was 2-2, 6-2, 4-0, 3-0, 3-2. So there's always lots of goals in this game. And I think the defences on both sides haven't been that solid so far this season. So I'm not expecting any clean sheets, but that should mean that there's plenty of opportunities for the forward players on both sides. Now, which one you go for at Spurs is a quandary, because there is a wealth of talent there for Mourinho to choose from. Obviously, Harry Kane with another goal, and unlucky to have had one chalked off from VAR last night as well. So, you know, he is an option, but he is expensive and to me isn't quite performing at the standard that I would want him to warrant spending, what is it, 10.8 million, I think, on him now. And then, of course, in the midfield, you've got the likes of Son, who, again, got the assist last night, but didn't really show the sort of FPL qualities that we would look for from Son in terms of those regular huge points returns that we're so used to. From an Everton point of view, Richarlison's obviously flagged, so that's something that we need to just be wary of going into the game on Monday evening. He is expensive, so if he doesn't kind of make the team sheet, you'd be really disappointed, I think. Interestingly, it was Sigurdsson with the goal in game week 32. It was the first time he played 90 minutes for Everton since the restart. So for me, and it was his first double-digit haul of the season with 10 points. So he kind of throws himself up there with that penalty as an option. Spurs are known for giving away penalties. It does happen quite regularly that defenders do have a habit of kind of making silly mistakes. So he is an option definitely to look at. But I think Dominic Calvert-Lewin is the most highly owned of the Everton forward line. For me, he's now not had any return since game week 28. So having been in this really great run of form, we seem to have dropped off a bit of a cliff with him. I think if it was me, there's better options available in that striker position, none less than the Manchester United forwards that could be good or better options moving forward.
The only thing I would say about Kane is obviously he is not playing that well, as Sam said, but he's getting a few goals. And he's got this fixture and then on next Thursday, he's got Bournemouth away, and we know how bad Bournemouth are. And we also know how much Harry Kane loves scoring a ton of goals at the end of the season to put himself back in the golden boot race. And he's only six. He's only six off the top. So, you know, part of me is thinking Kane is going to do something monstrous this week. So
if you go for him as well, Duncan, that is a top-heavy team with Aubameyang and Kane. Kane, by the way, is priced at the moment at 10.9, so even more expensive than you thought, Sam. That is a lot of FPL money.
It is. Yeah. It's a lot of money for the returns that you're getting. But as Duncan said, he is right. He does normally go on massive point-scoring runs at the end of the season. And, you know, I don't necessarily see him getting lots of points against Everton, but as I said, it is normally a high scoring game, so he will be involved, I'm sure, if we score goals.
If Kane gets the golden boot this season, Duncan, every other striker in the division has just got to give up next season. Just
and that's coming from an
Arsenal
fan.
Yeah, I mean, if he gets it this year, when he's missed, how long was he out for? I mean, that would be ridiculous, but I know where you're coming from, Duncan.
Adrian, let's now look at your pick, because we've talked there about premium price players. We've talked a lot about Aubameyang and Kane. You've picked a game where there could be some really nice cheaper picks.
I think so, yeah. Newcastle against West Ham United. Obviously, on West Ham, great performance. One of the best centre-forward performances I've seen for ages from Mikel Antonio, who I think represents good value at the moment for them. But I wouldn't necessarily go West Ham for this fixture. I'm looking at Newcastle and the form they're in. And it's impressive. And I did a bit of digging this week for a piece that I was writing on Newcastle. Basically, five games ago, they ditched 5-4-1 and went to 4-2-3-1 or 4-4-1-1. Basically, a flat back four. One extra attacking player in the team. And it has made a colossal difference to their output. They're basically those attacking players that we'd written off really before. Almiron, Saint-Maximin, you know, good players to watch but didn't really deliver. Now they are. For shots per 90, shots inside the box per 90, chances created from open play, touches in the opposition box, Newcastle, since they've changed the system, are up over 50%. It's unbelievable the difference. So they've gone from being one of the most defensive teams to being really quite attacking. So I'm looking at Almiron, 5.8. So Maximin, obviously 5.5, very exciting player. I'm not going to tip up Joel Linton. I still can't go as far as that. But even Jonjo Shelvey's got 82 points this season. Missed a lot of the campaign. He's only 4.9. So Shelvey could be a good filler for the bench in case, you know, one of your starters doesn't play. So yeah, there are good options for Newcastle, I think, ahead of this game. They'll attack West Ham and go for it, I'm sure.
Now, that is hopefully giving you some food for thought for this week, but never before in FPL has it been as important to already have an eye on the game weeks that follow. So stay tuned as we take the long view. Well, I really do think we actually need to speak to the producer and rename this section for this extraordinary of extraordinary seasons, because let's be frank, this is the shortest long view ever. But you guys know the drill by now. It is all about teams who have attractive prospects beyond the next game week. Now, in recent weeks, guys, Man United have understandably dominated this section. They've got Bournemouth this week and they've got some kind fixtures. So I imagine that they're still looking attractive for you, Sam.
Absolutely. And I think it's at this point in the season where with Bournemouth coming next, you want to have three Manchester United players in your team. And I think the good thing about it is that there's probably 8 or 9 Manchester United players that you can choose from that would all make good FPL assets. There's obviously, you know, Rashford and Fernandes, who everybody's kind of been talking about. And then probably one of the defenders, Harry Maguire or Aaron Wan-Bissaka, or even the goalkeeper in De Gea. But there's also these other options which are now coming good. So Pogba's back and looking like he might be a nice, attractive, differential pick for Manchester United. And of course, you've got Greenwood as well, who offers amazing value for money. And I can't see that he loses his place. He played so well in game week 32.
I'm struggling at the moment personally. I've got Rashford and Fernandes, and I know I need the third Manchester United player. As you said there, there's so many good picks. It's now just a case of which three. I'm looking at Greenwood because he could free up funds elsewhere, but equally I want a Manchester United defender. Adrian, where should we be looking here?
Yeah, well I've got Harry Maguire, Fernandes and Greenwood, and I'm quite happy to stick with that really. I like Wan-Bissaka. Wan-Bissaka, the interesting thing about him is that he's gone from being quite a defensive right back to suddenly being really bold and adventurous. He's creating a lot more chances. So he's representing more value now than at any other point this season. So yeah, I wouldn't look outside of those guys because I've got Greenwood. I can't really go for Martial or Rashford. But if I did have a space free this week, I would just go on the hunch. And that hunch would be Rashford to finally hit the straps, really, because he's the one that's, I guess, underperforming, certainly points-wise, if not on the pitch.
A word on Aaron Wan-Bissaka as well, because we're talking about potentially maybe looking away from Liverpool defenders if you are thinking that. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, just 5.5 million. He's got 21 points over the last two game weeks, of course, getting clean sheets and 2 assists. So a very attractive proposition. Which end of the pitch are you looking at for Manchester United, Duncan?
Well, I've already got three players. I've got De Gea, Fernandes and Rashford. But Wan-Bissaka is very attractive, as you say, because, yeah, he's going to get the clean sheets, but he seems to be adding creativity to his game. And, you know, it's arguable he might be more creative over the final few weeks than Alexander-Arnold. So that could be a change for me, is to swap those two out, free up some money. But it would mean getting rid of De Gea, I think. But yeah, I mean, I remember in the autumn and the winter, didn't have any Manchester United players anywhere near the team. And now it's like, oh, I wish I could have 4 or 5. So it's kind of testament to the turnaround that they've undergone, really.
Yeah, we need to speak to the FPL overlords, the powers that be, to change us so we can have more than three Manchester United players in. Alas, I don't think that's going to happen, guys. Sorry to get your hopes up. Looking across the other side of Manchester as well, we've already spoken about the game against Liverpool. Adrian, you kind of did the risk-reward thing. You kept two Manchester City midfield. You got Sterling and KDB. And that's looking quite good with their fixtures on the horizon.
Well, the fixtures are fantastic, aren't they? You look at them, Southampton, Newcastle, Brighton, Bournemouth, Watford, Norwich. I mean, you could easily see maximum points and you can see them scoring multiple goals in the process. So I'm going to stick with Sterling and De Bruyne. I understand the notion that every now and again one of them might miss out. But if I've got a Greenwood on the bench or Jimenez, then, you know, or another midfielder, then that will be okay. But yeah, no, I think Manchester City are going to have a stormy end to the season. And I don't think they're going to concede too many goals either. So I would be looking at possibly City defenders. You've got Kyle Walker and others there as well. And I know that Duncan has invested in Phil Foden.
At last, he's done it.
When I was fiddling around with my team ahead of this match week, I put Foden in and then realised that that means I would have to sacrifice somebody else from City, and I don't want to. So, I kind of wish I could have four City players as well.
Duncan, you have bought Foden in, haven't you? I've just said at last there, because I know you've been toying with it for a little while.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Foden, and I kind of love the way that he's just suddenly started scoring loads of goals in his 20s. He turned 20 in last month, and he's just turned into this kind of seasoned pro. But he looks brilliant. He looks like he's now got the faith of Guardiola, and I think he'll play a lot in the next few weeks and should rack up quite a lot of points.
Just a quick word on the teams in the relegation fight. We've seen how much they've struggled to get results. West Ham winning in the week, but the bottom four sides have still failed to win. Are there any assets? Should we be completely avoiding them, looking at their fixtures? Sam, what do you think?
Well, I certainly think with Norwich, they are a hard avoid from an FPL point of view. They look like they've kind of already given up in reality. Similar with Bournemouth, they just doesn't seem to be anybody there that can get them out of this trouble. And then as a result, from an FPL point of view, there isn't anyone. I think the other two in the bottom four are interesting. Aston Villa and Watford both have potential to still get out of it. And I think therefore there will be some assets there that could be worth a punt. The good thing about those two sides is that those punts aren't going to cost you a lot of money. So probably Aston Villa, the most expensive one, is going to be Grealish. I'm not sure I see much value in Grealish at the moment. But then McGinn's back, and he was fantastic earlier on in the season. If they can get him back on form, that might just help them. Watford have got some great players. I mean, I currently have Foster as one of my goalkeepers. I don't know why. It seemed like a good idea at the time. After Burnley got destroyed by Manchester City, I swapped Pope for Foster on my wild card. What a mistake that was. So I don't think defensively you touch them. But going forward, there are some options there. You've got to be a bit rogue and you've got to be prepared to take a risk. But one of these clubs has got to start performing if they're going to stay up. So it's worth keeping an eye on them, I think.
Duncan and Adrian, very, very quickly before we move on, you've both got Jack Grealish. Keep or hold for you?
I'm ditching. Yeah, I've been fairly... I've had him a long, long time. But with games against Liverpool and Man United coming up, Arsenal as well, I'm just not sure. A lot rests on his shoulders, but he doesn't seem as sharp as he did earlier on in the campaign. And yeah, I just think he's having a slight downturn in form. And for that reason, I'm going to have to look elsewhere, I'm afraid. I've lost a bit of faith in Villa. I thought they'd be all right, but they're not looking good right now. I would actually have more faith in Watford, maybe in Ismail Assar, potentially, to gather more points than Grealish in the coming weeks.
Yeah, Grealish is my man who's made way for Phil Foden, actually, which could be a haunting premonition of international football as well. But, I mean, if he got a point per time he's fouled, he'd be the most valuable player in FPL history, but that's not the rule. So.
No.
Another rule change that I don't think we will manage to get through. Most fouls equaling FPL points. I can't see that one happening. Anyway, that's all we've got time for on The Long View. Now we're going to turn our attention to the question that we asked you on Twitter. A big thank you to everyone who answered our rallying cry over on Twitter. And this is something that I am particularly feeling with a number of my players, despite only just wildcarding. We asked you, which underperforming assets are you holding onto in anticipation of a return to form? I'm going to read out some of the answers, guys, because I think these are conundrums that loads of us are having. Ryan said, Vardy and Rashford. I just know the moment I replace them is when they each bag a hat trick. Firstly, Vardy, Duncan. Not sure quite what's happened to him.
Well, he's been stuck on 99 Premier League goals. He's got a problem. And, yeah, I mean, there was always going to be a point in his career when he you know, he's getting on a bit and maybe the goals would dry up. But he was so good earlier in the season that he was a, you know, nailed on pick for a long time. But yeah, anyone who's hanging on to him, I mean, I know I know it's pretty obvious that as soon as you get rid of him, he will get a hat trick. But Leicester really, as a whole team, look to be struggling so much at the moment that he's not really getting the opportunities. So yeah, it could be tricky for Vardy.
Well, Ryan mentioned Rashford there, and Ruben has also said Rashford and DCL. Rashford, now, I was burnt by him because I did captain him this week, as we know you did Duncan as well. Sam, you've got him as well. What are you feeling about Rashford at the moment?
See, I still feel quite positive about Rashford, to be honest. Maybe my faith is misguided. But I look at this fixture and I look at that Manchester United team and think Rashford is bound to score points at some stage. He isn't the sort of player that's going to sit in a team that's scoring points week after week and not get a return himself. So I feel all right about him. I think he'll be all right this week. I really do. He's definitely worth holding for this game.
You've got to remember as well that unlike a lot of the players, he's coming back from a pretty serious injury, that back injury. It's not sort of, you can't run that off. So he's probably a little bit further behind than some of his teammates or contemporaries. So yeah, I agree. I think I've got him. I'm going to keep him. I can see him running amok against Bournemouth.
Running amok, what a phrase that is. Rod has said almost the whole team, DCL, Tammy, Holgate, Martial, Ryan, it's everyone. Gosh, Rod, I feel your pain. I thought mine was bad, but it's not quite that bad. A quick word on Dominic Calvert-Lewin then, Adrian, because for anyone that listened to the pod last week, I said, well, a few of us said that we didn't think we'd be bringing in Ings. I didn't bring in Ings, and I've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin, and I'm really regretting it.
Yeah, Ings was on fire, wasn't he? And Southampton were really unimpressive in the game I watched against Arsenal, so I wouldn't have gone for Ings either. I wouldn't lose complete faith in Calvert-Lewin. I still think his partnership with Richarlison is one of the best in the league. He's an absolute figurehead. I can't see Carlo Ancelotti leaving him out for Moyes Keane in a hurry. I think they will continue to play. And actually, Everton's fixtures aren't too bad. Looking forward, between now and the end of the season, I think Calvert-Lewin will come good. So if you can show patience, I think it will be worth it.
Well, we've been talking there about underperformers. Now we turn our attention to players who maybe have been overperforming slightly, or perhaps we just haven't noticed yet. It's Essential Differential. This is one of my favourite parts of the show. Again, I love the suggestions. I'm never brave enough to bring them in. And I love it when our panel have left field suggestions. Sam Bonfield, hit me.
Okay, I've gone totally rogue this week. I'm going with Aaron Connolly at Brighton. He's cheapest chips. He's only going to cost you 4.2 million. He's owned by 2.4% of the game. So really amazing differential if you're looking to climb up those mini leagues. Now, in reality, the fixtures for Brighton are not ideal. I mean, this week they've got Norwich, which is the perfect opportunity for Connolly to get big returns. And Brighton need to win this game because after that they've got Liverpool and then Manchester City. So they need to make sure they keep pulling themselves away. So I think this is a great moment for Connolly. The good thing about him is that if you do bring him in this week, you can just bench him for those games against Liverpool and Manchester City and then have him back in for those final nice three matches against Southampton, Newcastle and Burnley. He's got some form about him, hasn't got any FPL returns lately, but there's definitely been opportunities for him in that Brighton side, and I do think that they'll do well this weekend against a very, very out of form Norwich team.
Yeah, he did get an assist against Arsenal as well. I'm sure Adrian remembers that well. 4.2 million are tempted.
Never happened.
Come on then, Adrian, let's talk happier things for you. We've said already that you've got Manchester City double up. You're well on the bandwagon there, but you've also got a differential for us as well.
Yeah, and I'm gonna put him in to my team, and this is the reason I can't choose Phil Foden to supplement my City-dominated midfield. Eric Garcia, £4.5 million. He has got a whopping 0.1% ownership. So you really are going against the grain with his selection. The reason I choose him is that he was selected for the Arsenal game, had a bad injury, didn't he? A knock to the head, and he's had to sit out a few matches in between. Straight back for Liverpool. I thought he did really, really well in the game. And let's face it, City and Pep Guardiola have got to look towards next season and where they're going to strengthen. They're weak at the back. Otamendi, Stones, they've not really delivered for Pep. I think he is likely, I know that he chops and changes his team, so he won't play every game, but I think Garcia's got an opportunity to establish himself alongside Laporte between now and the end of the season, and their fixtures are very easy on paper. So yeah, I'm going for Garcia in place of John Lundstrom, who of course injured himself, and Sheffield United, I've lost a little bit of faith in defensively. So yeah, Garcia will be in for me.
4.5 million if you are tempted by Adrian's shout. Now, Duncan, it sounds like you're going, or you're considering, a very top-heavy team at the moment. So, of course, you're going to need to find funds elsewhere. And you've found a bit of a points machine in defence. Who isn't too expensive?
Yeah, Ben Mee at Burnley, who's clocked up 23 points in his last two games. He obviously spoke really well after the Man City game as well. He's a real sort of leader in that team. You know, Burnley don't have a massive squad. You know, they've only actually used four of a possible 15 substitutions since lockdown ended. So, you know, Ben Mee's never going to get rotated. So, yeah, I think he is a good option. And he's only selected by 1.5% of people. And he's only 5 million. So if you are thinking of, you know, shipping out Van Dijk or Trent or Robertson, that frees up some vital cash, which, you know, you might need if you're going to go for a top-heavy team, a la me.
I'm excited by this team. There could be goals aplenty in it. Well, we're going to find out now if any of this lot are brave enough to actually bring these players in, or if they're even brave enough to captain them. Let's find out. Well, you guys have been busy already. Not that there's really any time to rest given these fast deadlines. Transfers all over the shop. Sam, you've gone for the double whammy already.
I have, yeah, a role transfer last week, so I had two left for this week. I decided that three Manchester United was the way to go this week, and so swapped out Justin from a Leicester side that just haven't been keeping any clean sheets, and bought in Aaron Wan-Bissaka. And then I also, in order to free up the additional money I needed for that, I swapped Jordan Ayew down to Nketiah at Arsenal. But I still might take another one. I'm still kind of pondering on a -4. I've got Steven Bergwijn in the middle, who looks great on paper, and when you watch him, does the right things, but just hasn't been getting any FPL returns. In his place, it'll probably be one of the Chelsea boys. I just can't decide between Willian and Pulisic as to which one will come in.
Yeah, that is a tricky one. That's one I'm debating as well. Duncan, what about your one transfer that you've done?
Well, I've got rid of Grealish for Foden, but I need, like Adrian, I need to get shot of John Lundstrom. I think that'll be my Ben Mee move. I'll probably keep Trent for the Villa home game because I think he might go, bounce back after the City game. And then, yeah, as mentioned, I'm going to try and bring in Kane ahead of the Bournemouth game in match week 34 because I just know something's going to happen. There's going to be an event on the South Coast.
It's going to be a madness. Yeah.
So you're going to have a Kane Oba double up top potentially.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, 4 million players throughout the rest of your team. Adrian, your plans are in motion for your transfers. How's your team looking? What are your transfers?
Well, I didn't want to commit myself before the pod, just in case any of you came up with any brilliant ideas that I could pinch. You didn't. sorry.
Rude. Hopefully the listeners don't feel the same.
No, not at all. My mind was made up. Lundstrom's out. Grealish is out. Eric Garcia, I've got faith in this young Man City player. I think he's going to be good for me. And I'm jumping on the Newcastle United bandwagon. So Almiron will come in for Grealish. What it does, it gives me £0.9 million spending money for the next time the window opens. So I might go big next week on someone else.
Spending money, it's if you've actually got it in your back pocket and when the window opens, it's all being taken very seriously, just the way we like it. And finally, guys, your captains. I know this can often go down to the wire and a few of us have been burnt recently. Duncan, namely you.
Yeah, I went for Rashford last week. I mean, part of me thinks maybe do that again this week because he's playing Bournemouth.
You haven't learned.
I haven't learned. I mean, I probably will just go Fernandes or De Bruyne, you know, nice and safe. But yeah, I think I'm going to leave it right to the last minute and, you know, crank up the hunch machine and see what it says.
Adrian, what about you?
Yeah, I think Manchester United, just because Bournemouth are so bad, so I'm going to go for Bruno Fernandes. But there's a part of me that worries will Ollie be so confident that he just gives him a breather here? So I might wait until, yeah, relatively late doors. But yeah, Fernandez at the moment's got the armband.
And Sam, finally, who are you going for?
Well, I need to get it right this week, having had two captain blanks in the last two. So I think I'm going with Fernandez too, although I am really tempted to put it on Rashford. I just think he is owed a big return this week. So it'll be one of those two.
Manchester United, the overriding pick then, it seems. Well, that is all we've got time for today. But as always, PremierLeague.com is awash with FPL gold. We've got the FPL show, which is where you can incidentally get your James Richardson fix if you are missing him whilst I'm in the big chair. There is also FYI and loads of other really useful articles, some of which are even written by our very own Adrian. So do check those out. And remember, we'll be back next Friday. The game week 33 deadline is 11:30 a.m. UK time this Saturday, the 4th of July. Do not forget, I know these guys won't. Thanks for joining me once again, Duncan, Adrian and Sam, and the best of luck to you three and everyone else listening. We'll see you next week.